Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Kelly Henderson, and you're listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. This week, my guest is Marvin Wilkerson. Marvin is a master astrologist and hypnotist who has been studying astrology for over 50 years. I heard about Marvin through my dear friend and psychic medium, Frank Castellano, and knew that if Frank was referring this guy, he was legit. I first became interested in astrology after signing up for the app, The Pattern, where you enter your birth date and time, and it sends you a reading each day about what's happening in this cycle of your life. Mine were so spot on that I wanted to dig even deeper, and what Marvin told me was so much more than that. Sometimes so much so that it was over my head. I'm definitely still processing. But if you're listening to this and start to feel that way, still keep listening. He does a 15-minute reading for me that shook me to tears. I will definitely be going back for the full reading. Here's Marvin. Okay, so you're a master astrologer now.
I am.
But you were just telling me you did radio for years. You didn't start here, right?
No.
Tell me more about your career path.
Well, I started when I was 18 years old. So obviously you can see that's been one heck of a long time.
Right.
About 50 years.
Wow.
So, and it all started with my mother. She was doing a bunch of searching for truth and questioning and all of that kind of stuff. And when I came home from school, we got in a conversation and she threw a book at me from Krishnamurti that was named Think on These Things. And once I started reading that, that was like a jet engine that propelled me into my own search of truth. And it wasn't long after that, living in Virginia Beach, Virginia, it wasn't hard to find Edgar Cayce and psychics and, of course, astrologer. And I got an astrology reading and I got a psychic reading. And it was all, it all started from there.
So what was your path, though? Did you immediately start learning how to read charts and all of that?
Well, actually, astrology is an extremely in-depth and takes quite a bit of a... it takes a long time to learn. I mean, you're turning symbols into language. Mm-hmm. And then you're turning intuition into language. And so learning people characteristics, learning what motivates people, why they do what they do. I mean, you're going into a deep psychology of people. Mm-hmm. So this took quite a number of years. So probably starting in around 20, I'm still doing metaphysical and spiritual search and talk to a lot of people then. And then in about 85, 86, I started to really get serious about studying astrology. And then in 92, I became professional.
So you say, you mentioned symbols and then you mentioned intuition. If there's mm-hmm. such a big part of intuition in this, what's the difference between astrology and like if you go to get a psychic reading?
Well, a psychic reading is going to pull out of conversations of what they're hearing and what they're sensing in your energy field right now.
Right.
Whereas an astrology reading, I'm reading the energy that's going on currently, as well as your energy of when you were born. And then I'm reading a transiting and progressed energy of what's going on internally, what's going on externally, and well, what's going on within the next reasonably 6 months to a year.
So, okay, I've got so many questions because this, I want to break this down a little bit, but you basically learned about astrology, so you trained, but do you feel like this was something you were born, this energy reading and all of that aspect of it?
Well,
were you just born
really.
With that
everybody's
curiosity?
Everybody's sensitive. Everybody's got intuition. Everybody understands, gets psychic information. They just don't label it like a psychic does.
Okay.
So everybody has these impulses and intuition. There is no difference in human beings. We all have that sixth sense. Some of it's developed, some of it's innate, and some of it is as you continually becoming more self-aware or opening up, you're going to get better and better at translating energy and the psychodynamics of what's going on and why with individuals as well as into a bigger picture.
So everyone has it. It's just some people are a little more turned up maybe. Or you can work on opening up?
I guess turned up. What I've learned about dealing with so many psychics is they're learning about communication in this life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the part of astrology that looks at symbols and the chart that you are actually reading when you're doing a reading, can you talk me through that process? Like what does that mean?
Well, do you know what one looks like?
No.
Well, there it is, upside down.
Okay, well, that looks like, I don't even know how to describe that.
Exactly.
So you just learned how to read this chart.
Well, everybody knows what Venus in Mars looks like because that's pretty common with Venus having the feminine tail and Mars having the arrow pointing up out of a circle. So all of the planets or asteroids, some astrologers use a lot of asteroids, all those are they are the construction of the energy that we deal with as human beings. So
Venus and Mars
is just like the sun and the moon. Everybody walks
right.
around saying, what's your sun sign? What's your sun sign?
Yeah.
Well, that sun sign at a particular time of the year, which whatever month you were born in, is going to have characteristics. And those characteristics are going to be evaluated on how you present them as being your individual self. So a sun sign is your strength and power and vitality, and this is what you use to individuate, to carve out your own unique self-expression.
Okay, so when we are reading these horoscope apps or the horoscope reading for a day, what do you think about that?
Because well, they're that's extraordinarily just one, general.
That's what I was just going to ask.
And so that's what I call pop astrology because basically it's just written for the masses and it's just using general language to describe each one of the energies that will help the person look into themselves a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you progress and become a serious astrologer, then you realize this is a map, and that map is going to be need to look at holistically so that all the energy now is who you are, not just your sun sign. And you come in with a lot of baggage from the past,
right.
which would be your moon, which means that's all of the patterns and scripts that you live your life by, which is what you're going to have to face and experience as your life unfolds and you move through life.
When you say past, do you mean the past of this life or the past of another life?
All past. So if you want to believe in past lives, right, well, then it's all of them.
And
if you just want to believe in this one, well, it all happened in this one that reprograms and programs you to respond to the past miscreations and misperceptions of your past lives, or how you accepted things as a little child.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I tell most of my hypnosis clients is that by the time you're 21 years old, you've been told 60,000 times who they are, who you are, who the world is, and how you fit in it. 60,000 times.
By the age of 21.
So that means, but by the age of 21.
Okay.
So that means all of your language has been conditioned and programmed, and then you live the most of your life, if you're trying to make adjustments and corrections to conflicts, to self-sabotaging behaviors, you have to make corrections to the belief systems that's been put in place by mother, father, teachers, brothers, sisters, friends, society, and whoever you hold up on a pedestal, because this is who programmed you.
There's so many questions going in my head. Okay. So then when you read these charts, you're saying these are the map of, like, there was something I read on your website. I think it said it was a part of our connection with the universe. And so astrology is the chart that helps us understand how the universe is guiding us. Would that be a good description?
The universe doesn't guide you. We are connected in the total living universe is all in a connection. Think of it like a spider web.
Okay.
If you pulled on one strand of a spider web, it all moves. And we're beginning to understand that now when we start using words like quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
All this means is there's multidimensional actions that take place because of how we are looking at something or experiencing life, or how we are responding to the energy or the pull of these planets and energies of the universe.
So where does astrology fall into that, I guess, is my question.
Well, astrology is the map. When you're born, you can look at the whole solar system, much less the whole galaxy and then the whole Milky Way,
yeah,
is moving through space. The moment that you take your first breath, there's a slice in time,
mm-hmm,
cut right out of the DNA of the universe. And that slice of time represents the metaphor of being an oak tree seed. So you are the seed of an individualized human being that will ultimately one day grow up and become an adult.
So that's why, okay, when you go get your chart, your astrology chart read, you ask a specific time of day. Like, if I was born a minute later, would my personality and my energy be any different?
Not necessarily. I mean, basically the time of day is just telling me where you were born, wherever the sun was on the whole in the world at the time.
Okay.
So it gives me the evaluation of you as an instinctually operating individual. So this is how you use your instincts, mm-hmm, to express your personality and energy. So whether I have your ascendant, and we call that an ascended chart, if I have that chart or I just run a solar chart, which they had to use for thousands of years because they didn't have computers, nor did they keep track of birth time, I can go by your sun sign, which most people identify with their sun sign,
right,
versus a soul chart anyway.
Right.
If I tell you what your soul is here to accomplish, that may not necessarily line up with what you think you're here to accomplish. So you're going to identify with your own creative individualistic ability. And from there, we go on to paint, use that map to understand what you're trying to evolve and become.
So when you read this chart, like, we're going to do a small version of mine in a minute, but like, when you read this, that is, you're seeing what my soul is here to do, mm-hmm. but I may interpret that as, or however I want. So it's not necessarily like that chart is going to tell me how to live my life, but it's my creative interpretation of that.
Well, the energies never tell you, dictate to you how to live your life.
Yeah.
You choose how to express the energy. See, all of these energies reside inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So you choose to express them through your own attitude, through your own beliefs, through your own ability to express your life.
Can we talk about synchronicity for a second?
Okay.
Okay. So I was reading, this is again on your website, which had a ton of information, by the way, if anyone's more interested in astrology. But that is when you and the universe are in line. Is my understanding correct? Or like,
well,
you know, those coincidence moments.
Let me explain
moments.
It like this. It's okay. Like people think about miracles and all of a sudden something happens. Well, the truth is all miracles is just as the time and the place that all energy comes together and it becomes poof. A miracle.
Yeah.
So synchronicity is nothing more than you walking around going, oh, that leaf just fell off the tree and hit me on a shoulder. So synchronicity is something that occurs through the natural movement of that whole connectivity of all energy in the universe.
Okay.
And you're just surprised that it happened at this particular moment. So it becomes what we call an aha moment.
Right.
And so that aha moment is now what we are going to define. And I tell people all the time, look, who's in control of synchronicity? Angels. So if you want something in your life, talk to an angel. We all got them.
Okay, can we talk about that then? Because, so I see this a psychic. His name is Frank. I think he's actually mm-hmm. the one who told me about you. But he and I talk about our spirit guides, and he does talk about angels. So what's your belief or understanding of all of that? Like the universe, what's happening? Like, who's in charge here? What's happening?
Well, look, you're not going to change the plan of your life. Your life is here for a specific reason. And that reason is to express your soul's evolutionary intent. And in so doing, we are going to utilize what was created by the Creator specifically for us, mm-hmm. his angels. They are specifically guides for human beings.
To protect us or to like help us along?
To help give you intuitive nudges, to help you if you're asking for something. How many times have you just says, oh, I wish, oh, I want, oh, I desire this? This is all being put out into the ethers. It's energy. It's energy that's coming off of you. So it's going somewhere and it's heard. And so you need to get over your sickness, illness. You need to get over your frustrations. You need to get over, I want my boyfriend back, or I need to get my Winnebago. Well, these are all desires that are going to be supported by the angelic realm if it's in part of your plan. Dag Hammarskjöld, I just wrote a great quote, and I'm I'm a big quote collector. We're not permitted to choose the frame of our destiny, but what we put into it is ours.
Tell me more. What do you mean, what we put into it?
God has a plan for us. I think, you know, even the religious people that I work with, Christians and on, they all know that the plan is set by God. Well, if God sets a plan, what makes you think you're going to change it? So you have a purpose in this life, and that is to evolve into becoming self-aware and self-realized. And if that is so, well, then the soul is going to feed you the plan. And as that unfolds, you become the, you grow into understanding and self-realizing and casting off some of the negative energies that you've created out of the past that then allows you to become more whole.
That's what I was just about to ask you, because we do all have our traumas or wounds that we bring into situations. So obviously, like, I can only speak from my own experience, but I know me, the situations I've gone through definitely impact the choices I make or relationships I get in, the things I'm scared to move forward with. And every morning I have to say to myself, I have to turn my will over, because if I don't, that my fears and all of those traumas are the things leading me in the decision. But so is it my, like you said, this, what did you say? The self, our self
realized.
So are we actually just becoming the best version of ourselves by doing that?
Doesn't it say ye are all gods?
This is where Frank gets me too. So
ye are all gods, and whoever I am, you shall be, and whatever I've done, you shall
right.
do. So if you're a god, why are you playing Little League?
What do you mean?
Because you're the creator of the universe. You're part and parcel of all the creations of the universe. So God give you that energy, and he give you all of his power, and you go by cars with it, and he build universes.
Right, that is Little League.
All right.
So Frank and I have talked about the before you come down to earth, you kind of pick what you need to learn in this life. Do you believe that?
You, it's more than just picking. I mean, you got to go before a council. You've got to set out a plan. That plan has to be part of the energy stream that's bringing you back into the physical dimensions anyway.
Okay.
So that's all done by the high self and consciousness. It's not done by your mind and your personality self. This is dictated by your high self, which is connected to all consciousness, which then instructs the soul on what you accomplished, what you didn't accomplish, so that now that miscreation of perception and belief of things, because you're a god and you don't believe that, you don't accept that totally enough. So that is what's going to bring you back in to the energetic stream of the physical dimension.
And it's, we create a certain plan for this.
And you create the plan, so to say, that is going to put you in every situation. It's going to bring you in contact with every human being that you're supposed to be in contact with, friends, enemies, hateful people, evil people, good people, wonderful people, happy people. So it brings you into those contacts. So then you have control over two things.
What two things?
Attitude and love. Other than that,
that's it.
You might as well surrender, because you're not going to change your destiny and the plan. Another quote I love is, whether you call it a stone, a beast, a tree, a human, a demon, or the divine, everything is the same energy manifesting itself in a million different ways. As a human, choose how to manifest. That's Sadhguru.
I love that, that the only two things we can control are attitude and love.
That's right.
Because when you're going through a hard time, the first thing I try to control is what's happening, the situation, how to make it work in the way that I need it to, or I think I need it to work in.
Well, the biggest thing that the number one question that will resolve the vast percentage of all personal and human conflict is when you say, how to is this perfect? And why did I attract this in? What am I to learn from this?
What do you mean, why did I attract this in? Because I immediately went to, that sounds like I'm punishing myself or something.
You just took the assumption that you're punishing.
I know, interesting.
Everything is not a punishment. There are no punishments.
Yeah.
There are frustrations because of your belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that you're being punished. When you go through a frustrating period, don't you learn something from it?
Yeah.
Don't you grow from it?
Yeah.
Well, that's called evolution. And so it's the miscreations that's keeping you in the little leagues that you've got to keep getting corrected.
Oh, so then we keep drawing in certain situations until we evolve.
So you are responsible for all the retraction, repulsion, adhesion, and cohesion principles in your life, your energy field.
That just changes a lot in my head.
So, this is neuroscience. It's a fact. We all have a prior receptive, which you'll know as what, you know, the metaphysical community calls the aura. Well, it's an energy field that goes around the body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when that brain of yours, that subconscious mind, says, oh, I want this. Well, that sets off neurotransmitters that then fire, and you draw the neural pathways that then electrify that prior receptive. Well, that electrical field then that goes around this body is now becomes a retraction, repulsion, adhesion principle in your life. So if you attracted it in,
mm-hmm.
Well, why not take responsibility for it?
That's an interesting way to look at that.
So if you attract in a mate, or
right.
You attract in a boyfriend, or you attract in several of them, and they're all the same, why do you keep getting the same?
It's what you're drawing in.
Because it's what you're drawing in. And until you say, all right, what do I have to change in me?
Right.
When you start turning the inner gaze and the focus on me,
mm-hmm.
I'm responsible, well, then you can start correcting the vast majority of issues in your life.
We started talking about this incident, drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing
right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, the story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So how does astrology or knowing your reading, getting a chart reading, help you to do that?
Well, when I look at a chart, I'm looking at that moment in time that you were born, mm-hmm. that's unique and individualistic to you. And then I'm looking at, you see, once that moment goes, well, then there's a million moments on past that. Well, it's just like the friction that you're using to stand up erect when the ground is trying to pull you down, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you're taking energy to straighten up. And so it's just like all energy is in relation to all other energy, which creates a energetic soup, which then you've got to navigate.
Right.
And so I look at when I'm looking at a what's going on now for you today and what we're going to look as prognostication, then what you're looking at is how that energy is affecting that initial energy of your birth, which is who you are. You are the oak tree. You always will be. But just like an oak tree, if it grows on the side of a hill, mm-hmm. it's got to keep making corrections to keep standing up on the side of that hill. Mm-hmm. And if the wind comes, it bends it and bows it, and then it grows in different shape. If it's reaching for the sun in a forest, it's got to reach into where there's an opening so it can get sun to survive. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of things that have to be done that you can use the astrological map that then helps you understand why.
So it's essentially another kind of guide. Mm-hmm. So when someone comes to your office, what does that experience look like? Like, what does the process of having your chart read look like?
Well, you just give me your information and I pull it up and I just begin. Now, there's different kinds of astrologers. Some of them are totally into predictions. Some of them are nuts.
Are you nuts?
No, I'm afraid not.
Okay, that's good.
I walk the talk.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, when I use the word prediction, if I said to you, it's going to rain today, mm-hmm. would you put an umbrella by the front door?
Probably.
Why?
Just in case.
Okay. So if I tell you, you got Saturn getting ready to square your sun, and it's going to cause a lot of hardships that you personally have created, but it's going to expose them to you, objectify them, so that you can work through these hardships and take responsibility for what you've created in life, what would that mean to you?
I mean, what would it mean to me, or what would I do?
What would you do?
I think I would have to sit with it until I just started to see it.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're reading in my chart right now? Great. Damn it. Okay, well, should we do my 15-minute reading right now?
No, it's up to you.
Yeah, let's do it. So what are you, is that part of what you're seeing?
Well, obviously, you know that it is, and you know that that has, in a broad way, is that's what's been going on.
That is true.
You are very definitely needed to look at your communications. You're needing to evaluate how your feelings are working into your everyday life and how you think about things and relate to things. So you need to become more sensitive and responding more emotionally and intuitively to things than to try to create things by establishing some sort of goal or working toward making things be like you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So this is coming right out of your path in life. And it should be one that where you're noticing your feelings, you're validating them. There's nothing more important than feelings and emotions. They're the most honest things there are. And so you're developing a sense of empathy and humility. You're learning how to nurture yourself and others. You're being shown how to build your own foundation and security. Mm-hmm. So anything that's going on now in your life over the last 4, 5, 6 months has been showing you that over and over and over, so that you're ultimately slowly changing your perspective and perception of things as you are then becoming more honest about your emotions and feelings. You're accepting others as emotional, and they've got, you know, these waves of emotional tantrums as well. And you're not judging them as much as you used to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're staying centered in your own feelings a little bit more.
Oh my God. So spot on. I could cry. Okay.
You're allowed to cry.
Wow.
Now that was just... you see, you are adjusting to how to have relationships in this life that is going to be much more of a heartfelt emotional connection to things. And when we're emotionally connected, there's a much greater intimacy than being a cold, callous CEO that I've got power and money and I don't have to expose my personality and my true self.
Yeah.
Recognize those?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And so when we become much more feeling and emotionally driven, we have much greater depth in our experience. We have much greater intimacy. We get the connection of much more on an intimate level. This is early education. So this is brothers and sisters are important with this. Think about your relationship patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first person you had a relationship with?
Like a boyfriend?
Well, no.
Oh, my parents?
No. Your brothers or sisters?
Oh,
did you have any?
I have a younger brother. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was your first relationship. And however that relationship plays out, which was an emotional relationship, probably still is in some respects, then that is going to set a pattern of how you relate to relationships. You see that connection? Okay. And then if you say, how can I, what is this trying to show me about my relationship patterns? What is he teaching me? What do I need? What is my perception and perspective that needs to be changed so that I can have much more honest relationships and intimacy? Then I can see the world, people, places, and things from a much more of a reality standpoint and the strength of my own self-image and emotional security. So obviously we're going pretty deep.
Yeah.
See how fast that works.
God, that's insane.
So I'll let up. You got some positive times coming. You got some very positive transformations getting ready to take place in your career, your status. I would say that over the next several years, you're going to become a lot more successful. You'll be pushing towards accomplishing things in a very powerful way. And they will succeed as they are to divinely orchestrated that you've planned out to succeed. So your growth right now is going to be immense, and you're definitely going to tap more into the spiritual aspects of life versus just the cold, hard realities of survival, living in capitalism. So as that begins to unfold, I would say that, you know, things are looking up for you. They're going to start turning out pretty good. And I would say in about another 3 years, there's going to be an extraordinary amount of individualism that starts coming out to where you start really standing up and walking the talk. And so let's see, you're 18 and 19, well, it's 37. So you're going to come into opening the throat chakra in about 2-3 years, which will mean your voice will come out over the next several years, and you're going to start speaking your honest truth. And this is why you're making adjustments in the emotional concepts right now and the feeling concepts, so that when you start opening the throat chakra and declaring how you think, feel, and see things, then it'll take much more power, and it'll be much more intuitive. It'll be much more individualistic.
What do you mean individualistic?
Individualistic is how we want to describe our own unique expression of God.
Okay.
That's the only thing I liked about George Bush. The 1,000 points of light. Because that's what we are.
Yeah.
We're all an individual light of God. And we're a representative. And he sent us here for a mission. And as we fulfill our mission and do our creative ability and expression, and we serve humanity as a whole, that's a fulfillment of our mission. So it takes the individuality, the individual person, not being conditioned by all the conditioning people, but our own unique self-expression. There's only one Kelly Henderson in the world, and she's very unique.
I like that.
Well, you're going to like it even more.
In 3 years?
Well, you're liking it now, but it's going to be even better.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like a little shook right now. That was very spot on.
Well, you see, this is the problem. When you've been doing this 50 years, and I've read, 10,000 charts minimum?
Yeah.
Thousands. Astrology is nothing more than observation, correlation. I have seen this signature how many times
right.
with clients, and I see how they operate with it. I see how they choose to act and their attitude and so forth with it. And this gives me the observation of how people choose to use energy. And then that allows me to say, well, if you're using it that way, it's going to create a little more of a struggle or self-sabotage right. than what you really need to go through if you'll just change your perspective just a little bit.
So do you have people, like, if I, instead of crying just now, would have gotten pissed off? Like, does that happen in your readings?
Why would you get pissed off at the truth?
I wouldn't, but...
Nobody else does either.
They don't. Wow.
I mean, that goes and hits you right at your soul level, doesn't it?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, then how are you going to get mad at me?
Right. But you said you read the energies of it. And mm-hmm. like, did you read my energy that I'm going to struggle with that or that I'm going to accept
that? It's all part of the map and it's all part of what's going on.
Okay. Well, now I have 100 questions. I guess I don't have time for those right now.
Well, that's what happens. I mean, you see, you're pulling the thread.
Right.
You're pulling the needle out of the haystack, and the more you pull, the more there's there. Mm-hmm. And this is who we are and what we're all about. And when you're on a search for truth, when you're on a spiritual path, using anything, whether I don't care whatever religion it is, I don't care how you are searching for your authentic self, it's always the same. It's always going to give you more questions so you can provide more answers and you can get to your truth.
So on your website, I read something you said because you refer to yourself as a seeker. And I always think of myself as a seeker too. I'm so curious, like, and I just want to keep growing and learning and all of those mm-hmm. things. I don't think about everyone that way, but you said we are all seekers.
Sure.
So everyone is?
Everyone is.
It just looks different.
Doesn't
on different
make
people.
Any difference if they're a criminal and a con in jail.
Yeah.
They're learning something. The soul is learning something. You see, we automatically take that ego personality mm-hmm. as the driver in this mm-hmm. life. Well, it's not. It's only looking for pleasure and gain. That's all it's looking for. It could care less about your safety, could care less about what you get into. It's looking for pleasure and gain. Your subconscious mind is responsible for 95% of all reality. That's a scientific fact. So in other words, your subconscious brain, which is very small behind your head, is what is controlling your life by making 2 millisecond responses. And so in doing so, the soul, which is housed in that section of the brain, is leading and guiding your life and providing the impulses for you to make choices, which you think you made them.
Right.
And you didn't make anything close to that. Because it isn't necessarily a part of pleasure and gain. The soul will send you into harm's way if it thinks you're going to get a valuable lesson from it. If you're going to get a valuable lesson and grow, well, then the soul doesn't care what you go through. Doesn't care how much money you got, what position you are. It only cares about your growth. That's what's responsible for you becoming the authentic you. So everybody inevitably is being guided by their own soul. Now, there is unique circumstances, and I just say unique, and I just say it in passing. Yes, I mean, a soul can absolutely get itself in deep trouble by the personality dominating versus the soul. See, there's a great struggle that goes on between us. It's the ego personality versus the soul. Your higher mind, your intuition. And then that intuition loses over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, then there's situations. It's been said by many sages and down through history. You lose the opportunity to have your unique soul.
So how do you stop letting the ego or the personality control
the mind?
Doing what?
Ego, personality. The thoughts. Haven't you ever realized you don't have to think? Your mind thinks on itself.
Hmm.
It's all by itself. See, the mind can't know itself. The body can't know itself. But the mind can know the body. So what knows the mind? Consciousness. Mm-hmm. The high self. And so that is what is the evaluating compass of what is going to evaluate the soul and whether you passed or failed. You know, Edgar Cayce said, and I've read many of his readings growing up in Virginia Beach, and they're strewn with people that went to him and said, well, this soul gained and failed in this lifetime. This soul gained, failed, mm-hmm. and then gained back. And this soul gained. And so, you know, there's plenty of, there's plenty that's been written and said about that from all sages, from all great avatars down through the centuries.
So that, because that's making me think of the different levels of, or when we say we need to come back and do this to learn that lesson.
Well, it's not really, you see, when we think of coming back, we think we're going someplace and yeah. we're coming back to this place. And there is no places. It's an all energetic dimension. So it's all vibrational. So you ascend by vibrating, by vibration and consciousness to a certain level. Well, once you get back into the energy stream of consciousness, and then that consciousness, that soul realizes that there's still miscreations and misperceptions that are deluding you, well, then it gets back into the energy stream that will ultimately then delve down through vibration into this dimension, which is three-dimensional.
I'm going to have to sit with that one for a minute. It's a lot to process.
Well, this is what 50 years does to you.
Right. So in your services, you have other things you do, like hypnosis.
Yeah, that's my healing abilities.
What does that mean?
Well, hypnosis is, this is where you address the subconscious mind so that you can influence through suggestibility and reframing old thought patterns that are causing problems, sabotages. Mm-hmm. And I like to use it to get into a higher realm so that you sense at that connectedness of the higher realms. But I mean, you know, you can get into healing the body. I mean, what makes you ill? What makes you sick? Well, that's the ego mind. Because the body's immune system is the most powerful thing. And in the moment that you get your ego, pleasure-seeking mind out of what's going on with your body, well, then your subconscious mind and the immune system immediately begin healing it. Immediately.
Really?
Really, really.
Like even things like cancer? What do you mean?
Anything. You are over this body. Does Jesus Christ heal the body? No.
I shook my head.
What
yes.
did he say? He said, go. Your faith has healed you.
Oh.
Oh. Everybody okay. has a healer inside of them.
Yeah.
That's what Albert Schweitzer said.
So what other services do you offer? You do the astrology charts or the readings?
Well, I do more of the hypnosis because you it's do. Therapeutic.
Yeah.
And it helps people with smoking and weight loss and confidence and anxieties and phobias and fears and all those kinds of things. And, you know, I you get to a certain place when you read an astrology chart, as I just did a little sample for you, that, you know, I can give you a reading, and if it's an hour, hour and a half, you leave the door and I'm done with you.
Yeah.
And I give you such voluminous amounts of information with such depth, you'll probably work on that for the rest of your life.
Right.
And so it just began to feel unfulfilling. I wanted to really get in and help someone. And so one day I was, and it was here in Nashville that I did it. I was, I left corporate America and I started doing some more readings again. And I was telling somebody that they had some subconscious patterns that were, you know, being too instrumental in their life. There were too, they were sabotaging their efforts, so to speak. They were keeping them from accomplishing what they wanted to. So I said, well, you know, there's a lot of interference through the subconscious and the unconscious mind. You probably ought to get a regression. So they come back to me one time, well, who does it? And I said, well, I don't know. Back in the 80s, when us hippies were doing regressions, and it was a big deal back then, you know, I did a lot of them back then. But, you know, it was another thing that, you know, it became more of a happy go giggles thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I was regressed. Oh, I went back to past life. Well, you know, what does that mean? What does that do for you? So I kind of lost interest in regressions. But, you know, when I was talking to them, I just knew that there was a great influence in the unconscious. So I thought, well, they came back to me and said, well, where do you get one? I said, I don't know. there's somebody ought to be doing them here in Nashville. And they come back and they said, well, we can't find anybody. I said, oh, well, hell, I'll do it. And so I read this book from a guy in Denver, said The New Regression Therapy. And it mentioned something about taking a hypnosis course. And I said, hypnosis? I never thought about doing anything like that. So I got online and I found a place that I could go get a certification, and about probably a thousand hours later and thousands of clients. And I'm a master hypnotist as well.
So do people, if you're coming to do a hypnosis session, can you accomplish enough in one session to be kind of over something, or does it take multiple sessions, or does it depend on what it is?
Typically, it takes multiple sessions because the subconscious mind learns through reinforcement.
Okay.
So most of my clients, I mean, all of my clients, actually, I'll pull a solar chart and look and see what's going on with their energy.
Yeah.
And then I'll get an idea of what their conflict that they're talking about versus what the energy's telling me, and then what kind of gulf that we've got to cross, so that it helps me set a strategy to help them accomplish for themselves what they need to heal. And so if you watch a commercial one time, you wouldn't go out and buy that crap.
Right.
But if you watch it 1,000 times, you go out and pick it up and don't even know why, because the color of the box, the lettering, the whatever, because the subconscious mind makes a 2-millisecond decision. The conscious mind takes 55 milliseconds. That's a friggin' tugboat compared to a speedboat.
Yeah.
So advertisers sell to the 2-millisecond because they don't want you making a decision on buying their product. And that's called neuromarketing.
So then that's essentially how hypnosis works, when you do it over and over and over.
Well, yeah, usually about 4 sessions I make corrections and help, or people make corrections and they make the adjustments in the vast majority of cases.
Wow. I read on your site that you do Skype sessions.
Yes.
So if people want to do that, and where can people find you? What's your website?
You would go into, if you went to blhypnosis.com, that takes you to my hypnosis website. If you go into astromarv.com, that'll take you to my astrology site. I am on Skype at either Marvin Wilkerson or BL Hypnosis. And I actually, to my fault, I forget exactly how you do it, but if you do that, then we can get on. If not, you can call me and I can help you figure out how to get on and contact me through Skype. Because on Skype, you got to send me a message. Yes, let him come through, or yes, let me go through, or whatever.
I see. Okay, so your website's probably the best route to get in contact with you.
That's the best route to get in touch with me.
Well, I'm going to obviously do the rest of my reading. I'm very interested in this now. You guys go check out Marvin and all of the, I mean, there's so much information on your website, just in general about both the astrology and also the hypnosis. So if you're interested in any of that, definitely check him out. And thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being here, Marvin.
Well, thank you for having me.
Bye. This is Kelly Henderson, and you've been listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast. I truly believe that every one of us has a little velvet and a little edge. So it's so important to remember that to be strong, you must be soft too. Thank you so much for sharing in those stories with me. You can follow Velvet's Edge on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as velvetsedge.com. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me every Wednesday for more conversations on lifestyle, beauty, and relationships. Thanks for listening. Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.